Blog Talk Radio.
And the collective wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Schenck, and I am the host of the show. My guest tonight is Amy Flynn, aka All About Energy. Our topic is love, love, love. March 9th marks the beginning of the ninth wave of the Mayan calendar, which also marks the end of duality and the old paradigms of thinking and living. We will discuss co-creating with unity consciousness on this call. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. And joining me now is Amy Flynn. Hello, dear Amy.
Hi, Kate.
How are you?
Happy anniversary.
Oh, thank you. That's right. This is our anniversary. Yes.
Yes. How could you forget to announce that?
I did forget to announce that. Yes, this is the anniversary of this show, and today we celebrate the two-year anniversary, two-year birthday.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yes, I'm so happy.
Yeah, and hello to Ulysses. Hi, Ulysses.
Ulysses
is the show dog.
Yes. He could be called the mascot, I guess. Huh?
Yes, the mascot. He holds the space for the show in his dog-like energy.
Yes. Well, right now he's sleeping very soundly.
Oh, okay.
For those of you who don't know, Ulysses was very ill, about a month ago or more or less. I don't know. My time is, time is not linear anymore, thank God. And he was very sick, and he is making a remarkable recovery, which I think could be something that all of us can learn from.
Yes. Yes, anything's possible. Totally,
yes.
Anything's possible. And actually,
right,
with all of the new energies and all of the frequency acceleration and all that, anything is becoming more possible. So it's
yeah,
like more anythings or more possibility.
I know,
and actually,
it's so exciting.
I don't even know if that's an accurate way to say it. I think it's that we are becoming more open to the possibilities, the limitless possibilities that have always been there, but we've just been shut down to.
Yes, and I think for me, my own experience with the dog has been a tremendous opening up to those possibilities because, you know, when they tell you that your dog has cancer, it's just so possible to kind of cave in to
right,
the diagnosis. But in this instance, I defied the diagnosis, and I wasn't going to just accept it.
Well, you know what it is really, Kate? All it is words. But because of the way that our cultural conditioning and our belief patterns are set, that word is like, oh, my God. It's like you might as well get your head chopped off in a guillotine. I mean, that's the impact of just hearing that word. When you think about it, it is a word. It's got five letters. That's it. There's nothing more to it. And
that's right.
And in truth, every single body that is alive has many cancers in it at any time. They show up. Your immune system handles it. They go away. I read some statistics on about autopsy, and they said when they autopsied bodies, they found at least 14 an average of 14. So some were higher, some were a little lower. An average of 14 cancers. Tumors,
yes,
in everybody that just weren't diagnosed. The person was going on living just fine, you know.
Yeah, I think. So, I was raised with a homeopathic physician. He was our family doctor, and he said that so much that cancer comes and it goes, and sometimes it comes and it it does get problematic. But he and his wife lived with cancer for many, 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 many years. And didn't
it's a,
go the
it's
allopathic
a normal,
route.
It's a normal
yeah.
part of the body functions. That some cells
yeah.
speed up and divide faster, but the body eliminates those. You know, it's like in everything that happens, every creation, there's always like a little bit of flaw, but it gets taken care of.
Right.
So it's the same thing within the body. Survival of the fittest, the body eliminates that which is problematic. The difficulty comes in is when you have so affected your body's natural systems that would normally be eliminating this by, you know, filling yourself with a lot of toxic stuff, and so they're overburdened having to take care of the toxic stuff and eliminating the toxic stuff that you're putting in on a daily basis or you're exposed to, that they don't have enough power left to deal with these natural occurrences. So the natural occurrences just continue to grow and take over.
And the thoughts that we have,
yes.
self-defeating and depression and these kinds of low vibrational resentments and so forth, those things hold disease states into place, I think.
Right. Those thoughts are, they're just as toxic as any chemicals or anything. So, yeah, definitely, definitely, definitely. Well, hopefully, we're moving out of that and we're evolving out of that. I mean, there's still people, I'm sure, that are clinging to their, you know, negative thinking, their negative energy, just because it's comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not,
mm-hmm.
even though it's negative, it's comfortable. It's what they're used to. People don't like to change. So therefore,
yeah.
you
yeah.
know, if they've been people that have been negative all their life, people that have been skeptical all their life, people that have not, you know, embraced change or doing something new or a whole new way of doing something, and they've just, you know, they're going to continue doing that because that's what they're used to and that's more comfortable. Well, you know, that happens. It happens. I mean, that's the beauty of this. Everybody has a choice.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't you think that when you look out into the world as it is right now with all the uprisings that are extremely, very much showing us change,
mm-hmm.
and that little PDF that you sent me, there was something about truth versus tradition, that it's right at this time with the Mayan calendar that people are facing the choice as to whether to go for truth or whether to go with tradition. And certainly we are seeing a complete and total uprootedness where people are saying, to hell with tradition. We're going for what is true in the world
mm-hmm.
today. And so
they're going with
cool
what
that
is actually true in their heart, more than what's
in
the world today. Yeah, because they're not really looking for what an example in the world, like all of these uprisings and whatever that happened in Egypt and Tunisia and Libya and even Wisconsin. They're not looking for validation
no.
in the world. They're following their hearts. They're doing
yes.
what's inside their hearts. And it's their personal truth. And their personal
yes.
truth happens to be a cultural truth, which makes it even more powerful. And the cultural truth is shifting. The
yes.
There's a shifting from the male-dominated energy or the male energy, not men, but male energy, to the more female energy. And the female energy is softer. It's more flowing. It's more relationship creating, it's more loving and nurturing. It's one that favors all, whereas the male energy is more of one of power and control and domination. And if you look at the history of our planet, you can see that we've had a lot of history of power, control, and domination. I mean, just look, you know, back around the Middle Ages, the great empires, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we really have carried that energy forward, and we truly have experienced a shifting in this energy. It's become lighter. The female energy is a lighter energy. It feels lighter. You know, it's less
right.
dense. And we're moving, you know, into less dense frequencies. So it's it all works. It just works perfectly. It's very natural. It all fits together. And as we move into this energy, people, and the female energy is more living from the heart as opposed to the male energy, which lives from the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And ideally, we need to have the balance of both heart-mind. And yeah, that's what we're moving toward. But the pendulum swings. It's like a swinging pendulum. So when we were so far, you know, to the right or the left, whatever side you want to pick, with the male energy, we have to swing a little, you know, extreme with the female energy. And then we come back to rest in the center where everything's in balance.
And seems to be what is happening. It feels that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, exactly. And another interesting thing to consider is that nothing stays on the same plane that it's on. When I say plane, if you think of a surface,
mm-hmm.
all energy exists. It spirals around or it circles around. Okay, we know that. Like you think of an electron, you know, with the electron circles around the neutron and the proton circles around the neutron. So everything, that's how energy exists. It
mm-hmm.
circles around things. But it doesn't circle around on a flat plane. It circles around in an ever-increasing, moving upward plane. It's a spiral, actually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the point that we come to when we're integrating these new energies, we're integrating them from a higher perspective than we were like 10 years ago or 5 years ago or even 1 year ago, and certainly
mm-hmm.
from like 1,000 years ago. So everything is continually evolving upward in this upward
yes.
spiral. It's just the nature of how the energy goes.
Like a pyramid.
Well, think of it more as a spiral than a pyramid, because a pyramid has a point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a pyramid's wide on the bottom and you know, pointy on the top, and it's not that it really necessarily narrows, it's just that it exists in an ever-moving spiral upward, like a, what do you call
kundalini.
It? Kundalini.
Blinky. How about a kundalini energy, that kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, a kundalini energy moves through, kundalini energy moves through the body energy points, the chakras, in a very similar fashion because it's
mm-hmm.
energy, its energy always moves that way. It's just that we might not be aware of it, but that's how energy moves, that's how energy exists. It doesn't exist on the same plane always. It always is moving upward. It's always moving. It could be a large, you know, a fast, wide spiral, or it can be a very compact spiral where it looks like it's almost, you know, one plane, but it's not.
The chambered nautilus, how about that as an image?
Yes. Well, all these images actually were created out of some kind of resonance, some kind of influence, you know, whether it be unconscious or not, you know, with
uh-huh.
the natural flow of energy.
Right. I just wanted to mention that Ulysses has joined us in this, and he isn't asking to go out. He's coming, and he laid down, and he might be asking for his MMS. I'm not sure. He actually asked for it now.
Oh, good for him. Good for him. Well, he may have just picked up my voice on the phone and the energy, and he might just have wanted to come over to join.
Yeah, he likes you.
I know he does, and I like him too. So it's mutual.
Yes, it is.
We have a mutual fan club.
That's
but,
right.
But anyway, what's so exciting about this this energy, and like even for me, I mean, it's so super exciting because I didn't know anything about this, that we were entering into this last period of the Mayan calendar, this ninth wave and the unity wave. I mean, I certainly felt the shift towards unity. And what's really interesting is when 2011 started,
mm-hmm.
I said, this is not a normal year. And he actually says that in the PDF that
I gave
you.
Yeah, he does. He does, yes.
Yeah. And by the way, for anybody listening, I am doing a free celebration to welcome in this unity, and I want everybody to participate because it's just going to be joyful and fun and high energy and high frequency. And the page to go to is tinyurl.com/celebrateunitywave. And the reason why I'm mentioning that now is because there's a link to this PDF online. So if you want to know what we're talking about, you can actually click there and read it. There's also an excerpt that I put on that page from it, too.
Okay,
but anyway,
so tinyurl.com, right?
Slash celebrate unity wave.
And no dashes. It's all together, right?
Right. All together. No dashes.
Gotcha.
So, but anyway, So what was so exciting was that, you know, I said that to people. I kept saying, this is not a normal year. I said, you know what? You know what I'm getting? I said, this year is 2012. Not next
yeah.
year. All those calculations, all that, some they messed up. And
right.
I had not read any of this. I was not following any Mayan calendar scholars. This is just what I received from the universe through my own guidance. And it said, they messed up. They totally misread the calendar. They miscalculated the dates. And the end of the Mayan calendar is not December 21st, 2012. It's in 2011. And
uh-huh.
there were some other people I know that were very high frequency, you know, people and very attuned to different energies. And they said, yes, we feel this too strongly. At this point, no one could find any real validation of it. We found a little bit, but we strongly felt that this was a year and that everyone was just making a big error in thinking that it was 2012. And
right.
then when I, you know, and I found there was a couple of other things that then I found later on, like several months later, that began to, you know, give me a little bit of validation of that. But I just accepted what I felt and just without doubt because it was so strong. And this year does not feel like any other year. It feels extremely powerful. And then when I, you know, had the ability to listen to this call. It was actually Jim Self of Mastering Alchemy who had Carl Kellerman on. And it was amazing. I was hysterical. I was laughing. I loved it because it was exactly
mm-hmm.
what I had received. Exactly. And like, you know, he says, you know, 2011 is not like any other year. And he walked through exactly how that the calculations were made, and basically it was the Western mind that uses the calendar that we use, because it's called the Gregorian calendar. It's used to the calendar ending on December 31st of every year.
Mm-hmm.
And for us that follow the Gregorian calendar and the seasons, the solstices are significant events. Said those two things do not hold true for the Mayans. They were not interested in solstices at all, and for them, they didn't even care about them or take notice of them. It was not something that they followed. So they would never have anything significant scheduled on a solstice.
Mm-hmm.
And two, the end of the Mayan calendar came in. He went through the calculations, how it goes through these 13 increments, and it's like a series of nines and 13 increments. And he says, so it has to end on an ahau, which means the 13th or whatever. And he said
mm-hmm.
the 2012 is actually a 9, not a 13,
mm-hmm.
you know, the date in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the only 13 that is anywhere around here is October 28th of 2011. And he said, and it's not just him who's figured this out, but all the Mayan calendars have determined this, Mayan calendar experts, I should say. And it's just October 28th of 2011 is actually the end date of the Mayan calendar, not December 21st, 2012.
Right.
And, yeah, and on March 9th, we begin what they call the last wave of the Mayan calendar, which is equivalent to the last phase, but it's called a wave because it's an energy frequency. It's a change in energy frequency. And what he says is that this frequency is going to be so high that we're all going to feel it. And
mm-hmm.
we're going to also feel that time accelerates even more than it's been, significantly. So much so that we're going to really not be able to keep track of or hang on to the concept of linear time. Like you mentioned, like linear time is pretty much gone. I mean, the world is still operating on the basis of linear time, but that's going to be loosening up some, I really suspect, because it's going to have to.
Right.
And then the other thing that this wave brings in, the predominant thing, is this unity consciousness, which is so wonderful. And because unity is the counter, the opposite of duality. I mean, our whole world, our whole existence as human beings on this planet has been built around duality. At least as far as we remember, maybe millions of years ago, it was not. But, you know, in more recent thousands of years, it
yeah.
definitely has been. And by duality, I mean, if you're not sure what duality is, It's that when you look at something, there's always two sides. You always see, like, there's a good and a bad. There's a pro, there's a con. There's an up, there's a down. There's a black, there's a white. You know,
right.
Someone talks to you, and they could be angry. And so you feel the anger. You react to the anger. That anger within them causes a reaction in you. And the same thing if someone is loving and kind. With unity, there's not two sides. There's all in one. Everything is unified. It's unity. It's one. So in other words, you would see something and you don't see black, white, good, bad. You see the thing, and you see that it encompasses all of that. It includes good, bad, you know, black, white, up, down, all of that. And so you have a choice with how to interact with it. You see both sides at the same time. It's significant when it comes to interpersonal relations, because when we're speaking with someone, if someone's in front of us being like nasty and rude and whatever, instead of just seeing that part of them and reacting to that part of them, we will also, at the same time that they're being nasty and rude and maybe this, you know, saying horrible things, see this loving person inside them will actually experience the love that they are at the same time. And we have a choice. We have a choice to interact with them as the loving being that they are, or interact with the angry side.
Right.
And, I mean, I would think that most people would choose to interact with the loving side at that point and just, you know, realize that the anger is not directed so much at them. It's not personal as much as it is the person needing to vent and release something that's within them. And, I mean, so it totally changes how we see, perceive, and be in our world.
Yeah.
I mean, it's huge.
Well, now, David Brown in the chat room says that, you know, in the PDF, that it says that the end of the Mayan calendar is October 28th, 2011.
Right.
So now he was wondering, is that the end of the world as we have known it? Now, that is that's a very strategic point.
That's an REM song. That's an REM song. You have to ask them. No. Okay. That's a really, really, really interesting question, and it's a really good question because there's been so much hype, so much carried away information about all of this having to do with the end of the Mayan calendar and what this really means. And it doesn't mean the end of the world. It doesn't even necessarily mean the end of the world as we've known it, because the change is not sudden. The change has been going on over a period of time. If you look at where we are now, how you feel now, how the world is now, how you relate with the world now, and the feelings that you get back from the world now, as compared to how it was, how you felt, how the world was in 2000, and then even go back to 1990, you're going to see a huge difference. There's a huge difference from 1990. There's
right.
even a huge difference from 2000. So the change is not like it's an overnight thing. It's been ongoing. So we're not going to wake up on October 29th and everything's going to be like totally different. Because it's already becoming different. It's already changing. Over the next few months, this 234 days of this ninth wave, the unity wave, there's going to be an acceleration in higher frequency energies, which is more of the love energies, the more compassionate, joyful energy, you know, just the higher frequencies that people are going to be bumping up against. They're going to be feeling, they're going to be experiencing, they're going to become more prevalent. People are not going to stand for, I mean, look at the 10 years ago, you certainly would not have what happened in Egypt or Tunisia happen. It just wouldn't have happened.
No. No,
people would
right.
never have had the guts to do it. They might not have even ever had the thought to do it. So, I mean, the change is definitely happening. So, We've already been experiencing in an ongoing way the end of the world as we've known it. because it's like every month something else is ending, something else is changing. And certainly every year there's different changes. So it's really not a sudden thing, but ongoing.
No.
Yeah, but when you look back, when you look back, like in another year or so, when you look back, you'll see drastic changes.
Right.
You'll be able to look at them then and say, wow, look at that. Look how that's changed. Look, a year ago, look where we were and look where we are now. So, but it won't feel like the rug's being pulled up from under you and like you go to sleep one day and wake up in a totally different world that you don't recognize the next. It won't be like that.
Well, it's always good to have periods of contemplation and reflection and recapitulation so that you can see how it's evolving and how it is transpiring and transforming.
Mm-hmm.
Slow down and take some time to think about all of this.
Yes. Yes, definitely. The thing is, though, you're not going to have that much time to think. You're really going to have to go with the flow because it is a very fast-moving energy. The higher-frequency energies move faster than the lower-frequency energies. If you ever looked at a high-frequency energy wave, the peaks and valleys are very close together. They're fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's fast. Whereas lower is much lower and slower and drawn out. You have much more time to, you know, contemplate and whatever. You really need to just be with the energy and go with the flow. And the higher frequencies, you need to open yourself up to it. That's why the living from the heart is so important, because the heart is totally in sync with this energy, totally knows what to do, and doesn't have to contemplate, assimilate, evaluate. That's a mind thing. And to try and keep all those mind processes going and satisfy them all at a time of high frequency energy is going to be uncomfortable because the mind can't keep up. So you're going to always feel stressed.
We don't have to know the reason.
No. No. And when you open up and you allow yourself to really just go with this high frequency energy, just flow with it. Just allow it to you know, flow and just allow yourself to be carried with it. You're going to find that it's a lot easier. Things are a lot more comfortable and things just unfold. They just unfold. And if you're finding that you are having to force things to unfold, then you're really not going with the energy. You're really kind of go against the energy, and you might want to back off a bit.
Right.
And just, you know, relax and just let it go. It's really important to get the mind-controlling aspect and the ego aspect out of the picture as much as possible now, because if you keep it in there, you're not going to be comfortable. You're absolutely not going to be comfortable because the mind is not designed, the mental mind, the conscious understanding mind, is not designed to operate at these high frequencies. It can't comprehend this stuff. And the more you try, the more out of harmony you're going to be, the more discordance you're going to have in your body, in the energy, and the more stress you're going to feel, and the more unhappy you're going to be.
Right.
It's more of a feeling experience than a thinking experience. And
so
I know everybody I know everybody has heard a lot of emphasis on living from the heart, you know, living in the heart. That was one of the other things that I was going to mention. I did that seminar, which is now an available tele-recording called Living from the Heart as Love. That's what we want to do. And even on that page, it clearly speaks about how trying to live from the mind, whereas it might have worked before, is not going to work anymore. And the more you try to do it, the more difficult things are going to seem for you and the more uncomfortable you're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just not the answer anymore. And I'll give that page to people, too, real quick if they want to read that. That is... if I can remember it, HTTP, :// all that stuff. And then it's love, L-O-V-E, .thecallofyourbeing.com. So it's L-O-V-E .thecallofyourbeing.com. yourbeing.com. And you'll find more on that page that talks about the, you know, what I'm talking about is living from your heart is love. And that's really what we need to do, because our true nature, what we really are, is love energy. Everything that exists is love energy. Love isn't the thing that we conceptualize it as or speak about as human beings on this planet. Love is an energy force. It's also known as life force. People call it life force. Love is the force that gives life to everything that exists. Even the things that appear to you as inanimate objects are alive. They're just very slow, low frequency energy. Einstein was the one that made that observation that everything is energy, everything. It only exists as energy, and matter is just slower moving waves of energy. So, and that energy is this love force, this love or life force. So what we are is this love, and it's not love the way we conceptualize it. It is a force that is more powerful, holds more energy, and is so light, bright, feels so good. It's beyond anything that you can conceptualize with or compare to the concept of love or the way love is considered with the way we communicate about it and our human experience. You can experience this love, but it's just not your normal, like, your everyday experience at this point yet.
Right. Well, by going with these energies of love, it would seem like somebody had just mentioned here in the chat room about how she or he would love to see some of the old patterns go. But it seems like if you're in that heart energy, the patterns do just go.
Mm-hmm. Ask for an example of some of the patterns that they'd like to see go, because that's a pretty general thing. I mean, everything is a pattern, so.
I'll write that down.
Yeah. So if they can kind of give an example of some of the patterns that they'd like to see go, then I can speak to it a little more intelligently. But know that the love energy, the love force, which is the original creative force, holds no difficulty within it. It's total possibility. It's total light, bright brilliance. It's total openness, total acceptance, allowing, and all creation. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it doesn't exclude. It's totally inclusive. So a struggle within love energy, that love force energy, is not really possible. So the more aligned that anyone can get with experiencing that love force that is actually flowing within you right now, but you just are so, it's again, being more in your mind. That question is a mind question. If you look at the question, the heart, which is feels and knows things intuitively, would never come up with a question like that. It wouldn't even have that. It wouldn't even be on its radar. You know, it intuitively feels, it knows, it just flows. That's a total mind question. And the resistance or the issue or the difficulty with patterns, again, is a mind experience. So all these mind experiences and mind ways of thinking are going to become more uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
The idea, I think, seems to me, the more uncomfortable they become, the more you want to drop them. It's like if you're holding something and it heats up in your hand and it burns your hand, you drop it.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is to move people out of this thinking, so it's going to become more uncomfortable, more uncomfortable, more uncomfortable, to just let go. So you have a choice, let go sooner or let go later.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to let go. less discomfort if you let go sooner than later.
Right.
So did they qualify or give an example of anything?
No, I'm waiting.
Okay. All right,
I'm trying to think of some old patterns. I mean, there are, anybody can think of old patterns that get to be pretty old. And just one old pattern would be to try to figure everything out, you know, logically.
Exactly.
That's a pattern.
Thinking from the mind. Thinking from the mind, using the mind to control things. Mind thinking, mind dominating is definitely, that's an old pattern. It's an old way of being. It's the male-oriented energy. It's the power energy, dominance, power. The mind, remember I said the mind is the male-oriented part of us. It's the male, even, you know, it's just got nothing to do with gender. It's just got to do with energy.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone has
mm-hmm.
Everyone's mind is male-oriented, especially your left brain. Your right brain, which is affiliated, associated with the feeling and the heart energy, is much more female energy-oriented. And when you are living from more of your right brain, living from your heart, you're much more open, you're intuitive. You're guided by your feelings and your intuitions to move forward in your life, as opposed to having to logically figure everything out and have to know, you know, technical, like every step of the way, understanding things. There was something, I want to say it was the Buddha, but I know he wouldn't speak like this, so maybe it was someone interpreting the Buddha who said, did he say it, though, out of paraphrasing the Buddha? Well, I'm not sure, but the thing is that understanding is the booby prize. Yeah, in other words, understanding is not the prize that we want. It's actually the prize that we don't want. What we want is knowing.
Knowing.
And knowing is a feeling and intuitive thing. It's something we feel throughout our whole body. And I know every single person that's listening to this knows that feeling. When you know something's right, when you just know something feels, you just got to do that. You just got to be there. You know, it might seem illogical. I got it. I know I have to go fly across the country to be at this thing. You know, it's just a knowing.
Yeah.
You just know it. And it's got nothing to do with understanding it. If you try to understand why you know it, you're going to be pretty stuck.
Yeah, I think we're all kind of moving into that intuition, more intuitive way of living.
Yes, well, we have to be, because that's what the energy frequencies are moving us towards. And if
mm-hmm.
we don't move that way, if we try to cling to the other thinking, like, you know, the mind thinking, the male-oriented energies, we're going to be uncomfortable. So eventually
mm-hmm.
the discomfort's going to become so great that we're going to drop it, and we're going to move. Then once we drop it, we'll just move like lightning speed into the feeling and intuitive energies, an intuitive way of being. So yes, everybody on the planet is becoming more feeling, more heart-based, and more intuitive. People are becoming more telepathic. People are, I mean, there is a huge acceleration in the number of people who are, you know, attuned to energies and communicating energies, and are people like channelers. 10 years ago, this wasn't so. There were a few, and it wasn't really accepted. Now it's kind of commonplace.
Mm-hmm.
10 years, that's all.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And
here are, somebody's mentioning some patterns here in the chat room.
Okay.
That the ideas of success and
okay.
dependency, the dependency mode we have been in. She
dependency
says,
mode?
Dependency mode.
All right.
And
I'm not really clear on what they mean by that, but what else do they say?
And then somebody else, David Brown says, I often find myself trying to get it all, quote, unquote, all under control.
Right,
and,
that's mind. I know David. David is very mind-oriented.
But
and
then
David,
he says, he
David
says,
would be
he
very
says,
much happier and more comfortable if he just let go of that, having to have it under control, and just jumped into his heart.
He says, but I realize that I can't get it all under control, so I just go with the flow, mostly, he says. So
right.
That's breaking a pattern right there.
Yeah, that's breaking a pattern, but if he goes with the flow reluctantly, still wishing he were getting it under control, still seeking it, so, you know, to find control in various points, it's
mm-hmm.
going to still be uncomfortable because he's still operating out of the mind. When you jump into the heart, okay, and you jump into that frequency of the love force frequency, and the heart intuition, you know, thinking, being, it's not really thinking, the heart intuition way of being. It's like
mm-hmm.
you jumped onto the river, you put your raft in the river, you know there's a current, you don't know where the current's going to take you, but you trust that it's going to take you where you need to go, and you relax. You relax. And you just go with it, and you start to enjoy the sights along the way, you know, the nice trees on the riverbank and so on and so forth. Whereas when you're trying to control things, you're looking for the oars, you're trying to paddle, you're thinking, oh, no, I shouldn't go over there. I'm pretty sure that where I want to be is over here. I recall someone telling me that, and that's where I want to go, and the current's trying to put me over there. I'm going to paddle here. So you're always focused on doing something, and you're always focused on going quite often against the flow. And it's not comfortable. You get tired. You get worn out. You're always struggling to go somewhere that the energy isn't wanting to take you. So it's, you know, and going with the flow does not necessarily allow you to know where you're going. And so there's a lot of faith involved. There's a lot of faith that it's taken you where you want to be. You know, it's your river. You kind of, you said, this is where I want to go. Now I see a river here. I'm just going to stick my raft in it, and I'm going to go, and I've got the faith that my river's going to take me there. Now, sure, there's things for you to do along the way, like maintaining your raft. You might have to pull over and stop and get some supplies, whatever. You know, those type of things you take care of as you travel down and go continue on your flow. But you don't try to buck the whole flow. You go with the flow. And it's much easier, much more comfortable, and it just creates a much more enjoyable experience. And when things are more comfortable and more enjoyable, you're more relaxed, and your frequency can then raise. Your emotions move into the higher frequency emotions, which are joy, peace, love, those type of frequencies, which is your natural state of being. You're naturally a really joyful being. You're the most joyful being that you can ever imagine. Like a little kid.
Yeah. It seems like one of the patterns that need to be broken would be the fear of not having the trust in the flow of life. And that the fear is that something terrible is going to happen, and you know, just the ego it comes in and just says that everything is going to collapse or whatever.
Well, that's you know, that is what the ego's for. The ego's not a bad guy. It's really not. The ego was really created when human beings were created, when we're basically source energy, the creative force energy extended, expressed here in individualized extensions of itself. But we didn't separate off of it. We're not separate, and we're not separate from each other either. There's one consciousness, one conscious entity, and we're an extension off of it, like a little hair-like projection. But in order for us to really enjoy and experience the experience of being an individualized hair-like extension, we had to think that all the other ones were not part of us, and that everyone was separate. So it created this great illusion, which is really all it is. It's a great illusion. It's a great game. And we're here living it. But what you were saying was, now I totally forgot what you said.
Oh, fear.
Fear. Okay. Fear is generated when you're trying to make things happen that aren't happening, and trying to understand that which you can't understand. And the purpose of the ego was to, for protection of the little consciousness extension, survival, really. That's the purpose of the ego, survival. And that's what the ego does. It does it really too well. It's supposed to help us survive, like if we're out in the jungle and we're foraging for food and we have to run from a wild lion. But we don't have that in our culture anymore. We've evolved way beyond that. But the ego is still the same, and it is very intent on doing its job. It's really committed to doing a good job. So it will give us that same feeling of fear, cause that same fear reaction, an alarm reaction in us. If we just, like, something goes awry, like on our computer, or if something doesn't show up in the mail that we were expecting, or the food store is out of food the day that we go there, I mean, we're just going to go into, like, the same, you know, fear. And it's really just a function of the ego doing its job. When you can understand that, then you have a choice. And the choice is to not become a victim of the ego and controlled by it, where the ego says, jump, and you automatically say, how high, and you jump. When the ego says, jump, run, danger, danger, you thank the ego for doing a good job. You know, thank you for sharing, thank you for doing a great job. And then you observe, you look, you have the choice to observe where you are, what the situation is. Is this really a life-threatening situation? Is this really a dangerous situation? Do I really need to be feeling such anxiety and fear here? And more times than not, the answer is going to be no. It's just the ego doing its job. And when you realize that, then, you know, you can just allow it to do its job and not be at the mercy of it. We will, you know, that's, as long as we have an ego, it's going to do its job.
Right. And there's no way of really getting rid of the ego.
No, it's like the appendix. The appendix doesn't really do anything in the human body anymore, but it's still there. Now imagine the appendix had a big function like years ago, and imagine the appendix was still trying to do that function, but it was totally unnecessary. It would be like that.
Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah. So remember, you're not your mind, you're not your ego. Who and what you are is bigger than all of that, and who and what you are always has a choice in every moment on how to be with whatever shows up, including the processes within your own energy field and within your own body. You always have a choice because you're not your body, you're not your mind, and you're not those processes. You're something that's bigger than that.
Mary Sunshine, Mary Grateful Lady, is in the chat room, and she says, but she had an appendectomy. Is it possible to do an egoectomy?
You know,
that's a wonderful question.
That is a wonderful question. That really is, and unfortunately, no, because the ego is not a tangible thing. I don't think they've even been able to pinpoint the part in the brain that contains this so-called ego. The ego is more of a function as far as a behavioral program. And the way that we remove, in quotes, the ego, or have our egoectomy, is to transcend it. We can't cut it out and remove it, but we can transcend it so that it no longer has the power and the grip over us. And that's what we do as we evolve, and that's exactly what we do when we step into the heart consciousness, heart-based mind, which isn't really the mind at all, because ego doesn't live there. It can't function in there. There's no home for it there. So we transcend it. We step right over it. We step right around it. And it's still there. But we are just not having it influence us in the same way because we're coming from somewhere else.
Yeah. Just and also Mary says, just allow the ego to do its job.
Exactly. Allow it to do its job and thank it. And I'll tell you something about the ego. The ego, because it is a fear-based mechanism, it works on the creation of fear to get you to respond. That's exactly how it works. It figures if it generates enough feeling of fear, you will jump out of the way. I mean, if you're in the middle of the street and a car is speeding down on you and your ego just says, oh, there's a car coming, well, you might not be motivated to really move too quickly.
Right.
But if the ego screams at you, you're going to get killed, smooshed flat on the road. Move now. You're going to jump before you even totally understood what it said, and you'll be safe. So the ego is not something that, you know, communicates quietly or subtly. But it does do its job, and it does do it really well. And because it's based on the creation of fear, it functions literally. It achieves its means by creating fear within us to get us to move and act. And that also brings up the fear response with the increased adrenaline so we can move faster and all that good stuff. It's a physiological reaction, too, that occurs. When we thank it and we appreciate it, it doesn't know what to do with those emotions. Because normally you don't thank fear. You don't thank something that generates fear. So when you do thank your ego, it totally backs off.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, you'll notice. You got to do it not cynically. You have to do it sincerely.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's an energy. It's an energy frequency. Everything's energy. So it's not the words that you're thinking or saying. It's the frequency that you're feeling. So if you feel a frequency of appreciation towards the ego for doing such a good job, it will back off. And you'll also notice that the mind chatter that's affiliated with the ego at that moment will stop.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's always mind chatter that goes with it. That's part of the whole your creation.
That you were saying about transcending the ego, the whole key there would be to thank the ego and automatic transcendence takes
place. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. What are you doing when you appreciate something? More than just it's appreciating. You are loving it.
Yeah.
So again, it's coming from that love. It's coming from that love. It's being the bigger being that you naturally are, that you really are, which is the being that is love energy. And loving all parts of yourself, including this ego, which is this fear creation program.
Now, I work in women's health, and I think in general, not even just in women's health, but in general in the population, there is a tremendous heightened anxiety that has sort of gripped humanity at this time. And I think that maybe, you know, this is about to end, but the whole idea, I think, instead of taking all these medicines to, you know, pharmaceutical drugs to get rid of your anxiety, that just a simple thing of thanking your ego and thanking the fear and thanking, you know, everything that's happening to you in your life.
Well, it's actually twofold. It's doing that, and it's moving your awareness into the heart. See, why this anxiety and discomfort and stress and whatever is accelerating is exactly like I said before. It's that thing that you're holding on to that's getting really, really, really hot to encourage you to drop it and let go. And as soon as you let go, you'll be swept into the heart-based energies and the heart-based way of being. But people are stubborn. People cling to what's familiar. They cling to what they know, even when it's hurting them badly. Unfortunately, the pharmaceutical industry has made it way too easy to, instead of being with these energies, which have a purpose, the discomfort has a purpose. The discomfort is to get you to let it go.
Yes.
They have created a whole bunch of these potions and these pills to numb you so it doesn't feel so uncomfortable, so you can continue to hold on. Well, that's totally counterproductive. That's not the idea. That's not what you want to do. You want to allow the discomfort to accelerate so that you finally say, no more.
Well, you know, you really hit the nail on the head there, because you need to sit with the pain, the anxiety, the discomfort. You need to sit with it.
There's a saying that I experienced in my life. Now, I don't know if it exists as a saying elsewhere. Probably. I think it does. But it totally came to me, and it really fit. And what it is the only way out is through. There's no other way out. You want to get out to the light at the end of the tunnel, you got to go through the tunnel.
And however long it takes, it might take a year.
Well, if you're going to be clinging to the rocks on the side of the inside of the tunnel, and you want to move forward to get to the light, your progress is going to be very, very hampered. You're going to be slow. You're going to be stuck pretty much where you are. The idea is to let go of the rocks and to just go forward. And if there's a little stream there in the bottom of the tunnel or the cave or whatever it is, to hop in there and trust that's going to carry you out. And you just go through. You just move through it. And that's what it is. But unfortunately, people get themselves stuck where they are by resisting where they're at, which is equivalent to hanging on to the side of the tunnel or the cave. And then they try and take things to numb them as their hands get really tired and sore from hanging on so tight, so they don't feel so much pain and they can continue to stay stuck and holding on there. But eventually, they're going to have to drop off. They're going to drop off because they just get so fatigued they can't deal with it anymore. And the river becomes bigger and higher as the frequency of energy moves upward and the consciousness becomes more aligned with the higher loving frequency of energy. Imagine that. Use the parallels. The river's rising and becoming higher. So they're going to eventually fall in the river and be carried out. or they're just going to become so exhausted, they're going to exhaust their resources, and their body's just going to die.
Yeah.
But they can't. People can't stay stuck forever. They just can't. Something's got to give.
Actually, they don't. They don't stay stuck forever.
No. But they do an awful lot of suffering because they're so attached. If you look at the great religions, and especially Buddhism, Buddhism's got this whole doctrine of non-attachment. I think it's called non-atman or something like that, or something very similar to that. And it makes sense. It's exactly what it is. I mean, we have this grasping nature, and it's the ego part of us that grasps. It's the mind part of us, our heart, the heart energy. The love force that flows within us would never grasp, but we have a mind. So that's why it's so important with everything's moving faster, as these forces of change seem to be moving faster, that we let go of, move out of that mind and let go of hanging onto the wall and just flow with this heart-based energy and know that it's going to take us where we need to be and where is good for us.
Right. Do you want to lead us in, like the collective lead us in a meditation?
I can. How much time is there?
We have a half hour.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. I never know when your shows are ending. You have an hour and a half, so that's good. Okay.
Yes,
all right.
Yes.
But first, before we do, let's just make sure that there's no other questions in the chat room. And find out if everyone would like that, if everyone is aligned with that. Would they like to be, go, you know, have a little meditative process, a little journey?
Okay, hang on. Let's see. I can't even type anymore. I'm already in a meditative state here. Okay.
You've been hanging onto the wall, Kate. Your fingers are stiff.
Okay. There we go. Yes. Yes. Let's see what else. I have two yeses. Three yeses because I said of me. Let's see.
Well, there's more people there I know that probably aren't in the chat. So if we can get the majority of those in the chat, I would think that they might represent the majority of those that are on the call. Listening to the show.
Yeah, right.
Because, I mean, it might be that they want to ask questions instead. I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, I have no attachment to either way.
There's a little, we're actually exchanging our Twitter handles here.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We sort of all of a sudden had an ADHD moment, but but maybe I think a meditation would be very centering. So I am going to take the initiative here and say let's do it.
Okay, okay. All right, then we'll do it. All right. Well, I'm glad to kind of allow the collective to flow through here. Since I'm really present, I don't know if they're going to come through all the way or not, but we'll see. They might. They're always eager. They're always eager to interact and take people on these beautiful journeys and whatever. All right, so let's see what happens. I'll be a moment. Good morning.
Good morning.
We are here. We are the collective, and we will take you on a meditation. You want to travel on a meditation with us?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. That is wonderful. All right. We would like you to everybody to get comfortable. Find a nice, comfortable position for your body where it's not going to be distracting you. So this could mean that you want to lie down. It could mean that you want to adjust yourself in a chair, or you might want to sit on the floor. Whichever is going to be a comfortable position for your body so that your focus is not going to be drawn to your body. And we'll let you do that. We haven't decided yet where we're going to take you, so we're going to find out together. All right. We are going to figure that everyone is comfortable or getting there. And we want you to focus on breathing, but we're going to breathe a special way. We want you to breathe in through the top of your head. So imagine the breath is coming in through the top of your head and flowing down through your spine, which is passing through all of the different chakra points, the major chakra points in your body. So breathe this breath in through the top of your head and literally feel this breath flowing down along your spine all the way down to your lower abdominal area. And when it comes to your lower abdominal area, we want you to swirl it around. Allow it to swirl slowly in a little vortex. And just do that for a little bit. And then when you feel you want to exhale, imagine this breath coming up through the front channel, like there's a back channel and a front channel, coming up now through the front channel up all the way up to your mouth, and exhale through your mouth. Now we're going to do that again. So breathe in through the top of your head and flow this breath all the way down. Down, down, through your down through the chakra points, through down your spine, to the lower abdominal area, and let it swirl slowly. And as it's swirling there, this beautiful breath energy, allow it to pull any tension that's in your legs and your leg muscles and your feet. Allow it to them just to be sucked up into the vortex. And it doesn't matter which way the vortex spins. Your vortex will spin exactly the right direction for you. So just allow all tension in your lower body, lower extremities, to be pulled into this vortex. And now bring that breath up through the front and exhale through the mouth. And as you do, exhale all that tension that it pulled in with it. Once again, bring the breath, beautiful breath, through the top of your head, down, 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 down your spine, through the different chakra points, all the way down to the lower abdominal area. And once again, let it swirl around slowly. And as it does, let it pull any tension that's in your trunk, in your middle body. That would be your lower back, your middle back, your upper back, your chest, your abdominal area, your organs, your digestive organs. Any tension that's in any of these areas, let that just be pulled out, just sucked right out into this little vortex of breath. And just feel everything relax. Feel it just relax. Feel the muscles relax. Feel the organs relax. And when you're ready, bring the breath up and exhale through the mouth. And once again, breathe a beautiful breath in through the top of your head. Flow it down, down, down through the spine and the chakra points to the lower abdominal area where it's going to swirl slowly and gently. And let's pull any remaining tension in the trunk part of your body, your lower back, middle and upper back, chest, abdominal organs. Pull it all in. Let it all be sucked out so everything completely relaxes. Feel everything get soft and just sink. Just relax. And then when you're ready, bring that breath up and exhale through the mouth. Now we're going to breathe in through the top of the head again. And we're going to bring the breath down through the chakra points in the spine, all the way down, down to your lower abdominal area. And you're going to let it swirl once again in the vortex. And this time it's going to be pulling any tension in from your arms, from your fingertips, up your arms, through your shoulders. Everything's going to be letting go. You can see like this tension just streaming out of your arms, streaming down, all the way down along the lines of the chakra points into this vortex. Any tension that's in your neck, in your shoulders, streaming in. And it's all being pulled into this vortex. Now, when you're ready, bring that beautiful breath up, containing all that tension, and exhale it out. And feel how relaxed and soft your arms are getting and your shoulders. Feel the tension releasing from your neck. Once again, breathe in through the top of your head. Breathe this beautiful breath down, 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 down your spine through the chakra points to the lower abdominal area. Let it swirl around. And let it pull in any tension that remains in your neck, the base of your skull, tension that's in the muscles of your head and your skull and the muscles of your face. They hold so much tension. Notice the tension between your brows. Just let it be pulled into this vortex. Let it go. The tension around the muscles around your mouth and your jaw. Just let it be pulled into this vortex. Just let your muscles of your head, your face, in the back of your neck, your chin and jaw relax. And now when you're ready, I want you to bring the breath up through the front and exhale through the mouth. So now all of this tension has been pulled and sucked out and breathed out. We're going to breathe in once again through the top of the head, but we're going to breathe in a white light. This breath is now, you can see that the breath is a beautiful, brilliant white light breath. So visualize this beautiful white light breath flowing in through the top of your head, down through your spine, through all of the chakra points, and as it passes each one, illuminating each one so that they glow with a beautiful white glow, down to the lower abdominal area, where it's going to swirl around and let it fill that lower abdominal area with a glowing white ball of light. And this glowing white ball of light, as it's swirling, expands, and it expands outward and it flows into every part of the inside of your body form. So it flows down your legs, up your trunk, up out your shoulders, down your arms into your fingers, up your neck into your head, until the inner part of your body, if you look with your inner eyes, you'll see it's glowing with this beautiful white glow. Now as you're ready, bring the breath up and exhale through the mouth. Now once again, bring this beautiful white light breath in through the top of your head. Breathe it down, 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 through the chakra points, illuminating and lighting up the heart in the heart chakra area, illuminating and lighting up all the chakra points even further. Bring it down to the lower abdominal area and let it fill the lower abdominal area once again with a beautiful white light, glowing ball of light. And let the light fill and flow out into every corner of your body form, lightening it and brightening it even further till it's glowing so bright that you can't even look at it. It's so bright. Now we're going to breathe out through every pore. So we want you to imagine that when you breathe out, you feel this breath coming out through every pore of your body. So breathe it out through every pore. Just push it out. It will come out. And as it does, it creates a beautiful white glow around your body that is expanding, a beautiful white bubble of light. So we're going to breathe in white light one more time to get it nice and bright. So breathe it in through the crown chakra, top of your head. Flow it down through the spine and all the chakra points to the lower abdominal area. Let the beautiful glowing light ball expand in the lower abdominal area, brightening up your inner body form so bright. Just see it getting so, so bright with your inner eyes. Into every corner, every cell is illuminated and glowing with this bright light. There's not one place in your body that isn't brilliantly lit. Now, when you're ready, we want you to breathe out once again through every pore, creating and brightening up this beautiful field of white light energy around you and expanding it. Watch as you breathe out. It's going to expand even further around you. So here you are, beautifully lit being, body form, floating in this beautiful white bubble of light. Beautiful. And you feel so peaceful. Now we want you to take your awareness, and we want you to let your awareness move from your mind and flow down, all the way down to your heart center. And we want you to place your awareness in your heart center, and you'll find in there, it's like a little chamber. So it's like you're in a beautiful room, a beautifully lit white light room, illuminated with glowing radiant light. And as you come into this room, a smile comes across your heart. You feel like your heart's smiling. And you might even have a smile form on your face. It's just such a beautiful feeling. We're going to allow our consciousness to stay in this space. And now, from the space, we want you to let your consciousness be aware of other points of light, other beings with the glowing heart centers around you. All around you, an infinite number of them. If you look, you will see there's an infinite number of them. It's as if you and your glowing white light body with the glowing heart center is floating in this field of other floating white light bodies with glowing heart centers. Now we want you to notice something quite magical. If you look into your heart center, you're going to see that there are beams of light that radiate out in a multitude of directions all around, up, down, all around, connecting with the center of these other lights, these other beings of light, glowing heart centers. So your heart center is connecting to other beings' heart centers through this glowing beam of light. I want you to take a moment and just see this and really feel this beautiful connection. And as you look at these beings and the heart centers that you're connecting to, you notice that their heart centers are also connecting out with many rays to many other beings of light, and they are beautifully illuminated heart centers. And you notice that their heart centers are glowing and connecting out to even more heart centers. And as you look and observe this with your inner eyes, your inner knowing, intuitive eyes, you see that there is this web, it's almost like this net, of light, points of light. And you see that you are a point of light on a glowing web a glowing network, a glowing net. You are one point of light connected to many, many points of light. And you feel in your heart center that this glowing net is alive. It's living. It's alive. It's conscious. And its consciousness feeds into your heart. And the consciousness that flows out of your heart feeds back into this glowing net and into and through all the other glowing centers of all the other beings that you are connected to. It is a beautiful grid, a network of light and love. It feels so good. It is the crystalline grid, also known as the light grid, also known as the love grid. And you are a part of it. You are a point of light on this beautiful grid. But you are also the whole grid. Because as you can see, you are connected to each point of light, and you feed energy to each point of light, and each point of light feeds energy to you. So there's really no distinction between you as an isolated point of light and all the other points of light that make up the grid. You are the grid, and the grid is you, and you are also a point of light on the grid. You are both. It's quite magical. Now, we want you, we're going to practice sending a love thought, a love transmission from your heart center to the other points of light that you're connected to so that you can see what happens. So we want you to focus your conscious awareness inside your heart center, where it's beautifully lit and glowing and feels so good, and intend, consciously send a beam of light out from your heart center through all of the different rays of light, the different connecting beams that beam out from your heart center to all of the points of light that you're connected to. So send that out. Feel that going out. Send that beautiful love out. Feel your heart open and expand as this love wave flows out of you in all directions to all the other points of light that are connected to you. Feel how good that feels. You are giving. And feel how good that feels to send that love. Now, in the same instant that that love is sent, notice what happens. You also receive beams of love coming right back into your heart center. It's like it's in the same instant. There's not even a delay. And we want you to open your heart center and allow all this beautiful love light to flow into your heart center. We want you to receive it. Just allow yourself to receive it and feel that joy and that wonder of such beautiful love filling you, and it's still flowing in. Because if you look and notice, you'll notice that the love you sent out is radiating throughout the whole net, and the whole net is beaming back love in return to you. And you're feeling it. And if you become and you are really observant, you will notice that this is not a one-time thing. This is a continual pulse of life throughout this beautiful light net of which you are a part and which is also the whole, you are the whole thing. So within this beautiful light grid or net, there's this pulse of light that constantly is moving throughout, feeding and nourishing each point, individual point of light that makes up the net or the grid. Isn't that beautiful? Can you feel how good that feels? This is constantly flowing to and through you. This is always there for you to tune into and to feel in any moment. It never leaves you. It's just that your awareness leaves it, and you become unaware that it's happening and that it's there. But it's there. It's like this beautiful home that you always can come back to. For it is always there. You are a part of this living grid, this living light grid. You are a very necessary contributing part. And as we've said, since it all is so interconnected and connected, and there's really no clear distinction, you are also the whole grid, as is every other point. So we can take that a step further and say, you are also every other point of light on the grid. You are not just the point of light that you perceive as you. And as your awareness expands, you'll be able to see and perceive that each point of light is also you. And yet each point of light also has another individual point of lightness to it. We would use the analogy to say that each point of light is an individual consciousness, whether it be a human consciousness, an animal consciousness, a plant consciousness, a mineral consciousness. Each point of light represents an individualized consciousness. But as you see, these individualized consciousnesses don't exist individually. They exist in a totally interlinked, interdependent web as one whole, unified whole. And the pulses of love and the pulses of light that flow through this whole pass through each one. So you are not distinct from the other points of light or the other beings. You are very much a part of them. And we want you to allow yourself to feel this. And we want you to allow yourself to feel the joy that this realization fills you with, and the love that you feel for every single point of light, and the love that you feel emanating from your heart for this whole entire light grid, and the love that just beams out of you just so naturally as you get so filled with this love feeling and this pulse that flows. So you are sending and you are receiving. You are giving and you are receiving in every single moment. It's a never-ending flow. It is the flow of life, and it is what you are. It is the most beautiful thing to be able to experience. For in your day-to-day existence, you become so intertwined with the little happenings of your day-to-day experience, you forget. You forget to tune into this bigger picture, this bigger part of you, the real essence of what's going on behind the scenes. But this is what it is, and you can tune into it anytime you want. We're going to have to bring you back now to more of a normal awareness because we cannot leave you out here in this light grid. But we want you to know that this grid is always part of you. It is always here. You don't ever stop being a part of this light grid and a point of light, and you never stop flowing this love energy. You might stop being aware of it, but it's always there. And since it's only a matter of awareness that you need to change, alter, or open up, or shift, it's simple to tune back into it. So we would like you to now bring your conscious awareness back into your body form. Become aware of the form of your body, you know, the normal shape that it has. Feel the energy within your body. Feel your consciousness within your body. Bring your consciousness down to the toes and your legs. And feel the energy there. bring your awareness up into your trunk and feel the energy flowing through your organs and feel your organs operating. Feel your heart beating. You can if you focus on it. Bring your conscious awareness up to your mind. And feel your mind, your brain thinking, the little nerve impulses, very similar to the love energy flowing in the grid. You have nerve impulses flowing in your brain and your nervous system. You know that as above, so below? Well, your brain is like the so below. And become aware of being in your body. And now we want you to actually move your feet, wiggle your toes, wiggle your fingers, breathe the breath in, feel the breath fill your lungs and your abdominal area expand. Breathe the breath out, and as you breathe your breath out, we want you to slowly open your eyes into your surroundings and come back to the room you're in. Is everybody back?
Yes.
You're back?
Very, very beautiful. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Are the people in the room back?
Let's see. Here we go. Whoops. Do that again.
Okay. We will let Amy come back. We're glad you enjoyed that.
It was wonderful. Very, very enjoyable.
Well, thank you. It's kind of me. They don't like to necessarily leave so much.
And Ulysses. Ulysses and I were very close together when we were doing your meditation, so we thank you together.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Yeah, that was really beautiful and powerful. I had no idea what they were going to do, and I mean, I had no idea that they were going to do anything with the crystalline grid, but that was just perfect. So that was really nice. So I hope that everybody really enjoyed that. And
it was very relaxing and wonderful and very enlivening.
Good. I'd like you to put the websites in the chat, the one for the Unity Wave and also the upcoming question and answer with the collective. This is a first time that I'm even doing this, but it seems to be something that people want, where there's not a teleseminar topic that it's going to happen first and then questions about that, but actually people will come with whatever questions they want to ask, much like this. But even more in-depth, where people can actually, because they'll be speaking on the phone live with the collective, and they can ask whatever they want to ask about what's going on with the energies, about what's happening with the changes, the frequency shifts, about what they're experiencing in their own lives, how to maybe transcend or move past things in their own lives, and whatever. So it should be very, very, very interesting.
Okay,
I'd like to give that website, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. The that website is I have to look. We'll give you the Unity Wave one first, okay? The Unity Wave is the http /....
Whatever, yeah, I got it.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Okay.
Yeah.
And it is then tinyurl.com/CelebrateUnityWave. So it's three words, but all together. And the words are spelled the normal way. So am I here where I need to be?
Yes, I have it.
Okay. Well, I'm looking here for... all right. New? Oh, here it is. Okay. All right, so now the other one is, okay, http://tinyurl.com/q-a-collective.
Say that again.
Q.
I got the tiny URL, but.
Yeah, tinyurl.com/.
Yeah.
Q hyphen A.
What is Q?
Q, the letter Q.
Oh, Q. Q hyphen
A. Q hyphen A. Then
okay.
collective. So it's Q hyphen A collective all together. QA, of course, stands for question and answer.
Collective, then what?
That's it. So it's tinyurls.com/q-a-collective.
After the Q, is there an actual dash or is
yes.
there a hyphen?
It's a hyphen.
Okay.
Hyphen and dash are the same thing.
All right. Okay, I got it. Let me just make sure I do. But, yeah, it looks good.
Okay.
Looks like it's working.
Okay, it's going to the page?
No, it isn't.
It's not going to the page?
No.
Or you didn't test it?
I tested it.
What? Read it back to me, what you have.
Okay. Let's see. tinyurl.com/.
Q dash, dash, or hyphen.
Okay, got it. Never mind. We'll try it again.
Okay. It's Q
dash
A.
I'm in a different state of mind here.
I know.
URL.
You traveled off to the grid.
Now, that would be tinyurl.com/Q-.
A. Collective, exactly.
Okay, that should work. Yes, that's it. That's beautiful.
Okay, good. Excellent. All right. So
nice.
Those are the two things. And I don't know if anyone has anything they want to ask or say or add, before you wrap up after that beautiful process. But they may be also out on the grid still.
Well, there's only a guest, and there's David Brown and myself, so I'll just say questions. I don't think they can hear us anymore. I'm not sure about that. But we have gone beyond our time, and I'm not sure if they can hear us or not. But
oh, okay. It's only gone 2 minutes, it looks like. So does the time stop? Does it stop automatically so that they can't hear anymore after 8:30?
I'm not sure if they can hear, but if they would listen to the rerun or whatever, the archive, they would actually hear this.
Okay. All right. That's good. Well, ask in the chat room if they're still there, if they can hear. I hope they heard the part where the collective brought them back because.
No. That was all within the range of time.
Okay. Okay, I wouldn't want to be leaving people out there floating.
No,
it's not necessarily a bad thing, but
no, you don't have to worry about that. Actually, it's all good.
Yeah.
Can you still hear? Maybe I'll get. I'm not getting a response. I hope that David can hear. Good. Are you? Wait a minute. Are you on the line? There is another person on the line.
On the telephone. Oh, okay.
On the telephone. So that could be. David was hearing these crazy Blog Talk Radio ads blaring periodically into his ear. And I had asked him to call in, and he possibly did.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's unfortunate about the Blog Talk Radio ads.
Yes, I've never... So let me just bring him on a minute. Hi, David. Are you there?
Hello, David.
Is there somebody else there? I'm just making an assumption.
What's the area code?
253.
Ooh. Don't know where that is.
Okay.
I have to Google. 253. Washington. Yeah, that could be David because that's where he lives. Maybe he's so relaxed after the process.
That's
you know,
right.
After that
that's
meditation,
right.
He might just, you know, maybe he fell asleep.
No, he's actually chatting.
He's chatting?
Yeah.
Oh, he might have his phone on mute.
I
so he can't speak. No, you unmuted it, but he might have the button on his phone where so not to have room noises come in. He might have, you know, put a mute on his phone.
Yeah.
And so he might be trying to speak and we don't hear him.
I'm not sure if we can do that with Blog Talk Radio. Well, you mean he muted his own
phone. On his own handset.
Yeah.
On his handset.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a mute button on mine where I can mute things out.
So, yeah, me too.
Yeah. So that's what
How do I unmute? That's so funny.
Tell him to ask him if he muted on his phone.
Yes.
Did he mute himself on his phone because you opened up the line, right? So he should be unmuted.
Yes.
And then he just has to push whatever he pushed to mute himself on his phone. So we're not so the people that aren't on the phone can't hear anymore, just the people that are on the phone.
I believe so.
Okay.
That's my feeling.
Okay.
From 2 years of experience.
Okay.
Oh dear.
They should kind of create a little cushion there, you know?
Yes.
You know, like at least a 5 minute cushion so that it doesn't cut off. I mean that would be kind of weird.
You know, oh, I know.
You know, all of a sudden you're listening and just, whoop, gone.
I did fall asleep, but the meditation was great, he says here in the chat. Thank you, Amy and Kate, he says.
Okay.
I guess it just isn't happening on the phone. I don't know why exactly, but that's cool.
Okay. Tell him you're very welcome.
Yeah.
And I hope that he feels better. You know, it helps with some of any anxiety or whatever he might have been feeling. So hopefully
I was actually beaming love into Ulysses. He has still has a trouble area.
Uh-huh.
And I was, a lot of that energy was beaming into him, and I think that was very helpful to him.
Oh, excellent.
Yes.
Well, he's also connected to everything on the whole grid. He's part of the grid, too. You know, he is the grid, just like we are.
Yes.
Right. So he doesn't just get energy from you. He gets it from the whole grid. So believe me, he's more tuned into the grid than we are because he doesn't have a mind that thinks that pulls him out of it all the time.
That's right.
So he goes much more with feeling. So, yeah. All right. Well, it sounds like we had a wonderful show, and hopefully everybody really enjoyed the process of the journey, whatever you want to call it, the meditation. And I think maybe they're all just very relaxed and mellow, and it's kind of dropped off as the show kind of ended.
Yeah.
Unofficially, just suddenly. And that's it. Well, anyway, I had a wonderful time, and happy anniversary again.
Thank you. And my birthday's in a few days.
Yes, I know. So happy birthday, too.
I'm excited. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, the 3-3 you said, which is a great thing.
3-3, absolutely.
Yeah. Magical.
Well, it was wonderful. Thank you. And I loved having you on the show, and we will do this again. I am positive of that.
Yes, absolutely. I love being on your show. You know that. So
yeah,
it's wonderful. Wonderful energy.
I appreciate it.
Yes. All right, well, I will let you go, and I'm looking forward to letting everyone know about the recording. So let me know when that's going to be done because we know it takes a few hours, right?
Yeah, I will let you know, and we can just send it out in the cyber.
Yeah, you can make me that magical link to put on my Facebook page, or else you could put it on my Facebook page where it actually just so you click on it and goes right to the recording. I know you can do that.
I will put it right on your Facebook page.
Okay, that'd be great. That'd be super.
Okay.
All right.
Love
Thank
to you,
you, Kate. All right.
Thank you.
Love to you too. Love to Ulysses.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. I'm going to play Music for Mother and Child by Klaus D. Jensen.